I heard it said at one point in time that the church is the only institution that is in existence for its non-members. It's interesting. If you're a part of a credit union, if you're a part of a trade association, the whole deal is that the focus is about those, the constituency, that are present. But it is indeed a great privilege for us to realize our purpose, our mission, continues to be the church for others. Now, I was going to go high-tech today and put this up on the PowerPoint, but we'll go low-tech and just sort of have you imagine what's going on here. Anybody tell what the building is in the very middle of this picture? It's a church. Very good. Can you tell what's going to and from the church? Stick figures. Very good. Absolutely. That's you got it. That's it. Stick figures. So we got stick figures going to the church. We got stick figures going away from the church. So here are the captions of these stick figures. We are leaving because we do not like the way things are done. And the other side is, we're arriving because we do not like the way things are done elsewhere. So you've got this steady flow. You've got these folks that are coming, and then you got these folks that are going. Now, I'm not sure where cartoonchurch.com got that particular thinking, but I want us to go maybe a little bit beyond that. This morning, as we think about the church for others, and that, go ahead, Bob. All right, yes, okay. If we want the church to be for others, I think this can be seen and it's encouraged in these few passages of Scripture out of the book of Colossians. The church for others can be seen as we live a life filled with, and then we get to go to God's Word and see what those things are. Paul loved this church at Colossae. He spent time there himself. It was filled with a group of folks that not only loved the Lord, but wanted to reach out into their community. And so he encourages these things in their life: to continue to be filled with faith, with hope, and with love. It's not the only place where these three characteristics seem to raise to the top of things. If you remember out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, how many weddings have you been to where we hear wonderful scripture used and in appropriate ways as well, talking about how love is patient and kind. But at the end it says these three things: faith, hope, and love. It seems to be the pillars or the foundations of where it is that we need to start, where we need to build upon as we follow this example in Christ. Now, Paul specifically points out one individual. In verse 7, we're not going to have much of a background on this individual. I'm not sure Epaphras is mentioned anywhere else in all the Scripture. But yet Paul takes some time in this particular location and at this particular writing to say, you've learned these things because someone has been modeling them. And this individual that modeled it, Epaphras, was the fella. The only description we have is it's a beloved fellow servant. He's a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. And he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. It's a great recognition that while sometimes we think what we do goes unnoticed or unmentioned, that as we understand the church for others, building on faith, hope, and love, that there is in fact someone who does take note. I appreciate Barbara Smith and her extensive reading. She and I share a very favored author among many, I'm sure, that she has. Jim Wallace continues to write on the very cutting edge of where faith meets politics. Isn't that what we've always heard? There are two things you never talk about in public, right? Faith or religion and politics. Well, Jim Wallace has crossed that line many, many years ago, and I'm glad he's still crossing it. Just has a brand new book out, and it's called On God's Side. And she gave me a quote out of that, and I thought it was very appropriate for us to understand what it really looks like when we think in terms of this church for others. It's often the more invisible Christians in the world who have understood the 25th chapter of Matthew best. And it's likely they who make the most difference in the kingdom of God. They are the glue that holds whole neighborhoods and villages together around the world, simply with the strength of their love. That description fit my friend Mary Glover. Mary was an older woman, poor herself, working as a daycare center cook in our neighborhood of Columbia Heights in Washington, D.C. Back when it was a very tough and violent place filled with people who are considered the least of these by the world's logic. Sojourner's Community lived there and began many projects with local people, including a food program that shared bags of groceries to help families through the week. The line formed early on Saturday morning, only 20 blocks from the White House, in a dramatic example of Washington's tale of two cities. Mary was a consistent volunteer leader in helping get the food ready in our neighborhood center, and she always said the prayer just before about 200 families started coming through the door. That's because she was our best prayer from the Black Pentecostal tradition of praying. We would hold hands, and Mary would thank the Lord for waking us up that morning and that we were all still alive. Thank you, Lord, for another day. The walls of our rooms were not the walls of our graves, and our beds were not our cooling boards. Then Mary always ended her prayer by saying, Lord, we know you'll be coming through this line today, so help us to treat you well. I got up most every Saturday morning just to hear Mary say her prayer. It was the best commentary I'd ever heard as we think of God's Word in Matthew 25. Mary Glover was an elder to me and a God-appointed missionary in our neighborhood. When we would walk those streets together, she would tell me her mission strategy. When I see people for the first time, I just smile, not wanting to scare them off. The next time I see them, I just say hello or how are you doing? The next time, I slow down a bit and give them a chance to answer back. Then it begins, and I learn how they need help. The Mary Glovers of the world have in fact lived out Matthew's gospel, and they love their Jesus by loving all of the least of these that God puts in their midst. And they are at the heart of the church's mission in the world, and they continue to be at the heart of all that we do as well. So the church for others can be seen as we live a life filled with faith, love, and hope. But I think there's another example that Paul uses, that the church can be seen as we live a life filled with fruitfulness and faithfulness. That's what he goes on to say. He says in verse 6, just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. I asked Miss Elsie Fry this morning if she raised a garden. And she says, no, I don't do that anymore. She says, I've got 5 yards instead. Now, anybody else have 5 yards that they have to mow every week? I don't know that. Elsie, that's I think you ought to get some help lined up for 5 yards to mow. Elsie continues to take care of this ground that God has blessed her with here in the heart of Barber County. We've found a few other paths in Barber County here recently. Some of you probably know Stonaker Road much better than me. Anybody know where Stonaker Road is in Barber County? We made our way up Stonaker Road. Allison's learning to drive a standard, so we say our prayer by the time we get on Stonaker Road till the time we pull in at her physical therapist's house, but a lot of prayers, that's good. Nothing wrong with that. Beautiful countryside out there, and then when we go into Mike Holliday's driveway, he's got fruit trees on all sides of his driveway. Now, they don't look to be very big. I'm not sure when Mike actually planted them, but you can already tell there are going to be some nice apple trees one of these days. Already loaded. I'm not sure what kind of apples they are, but they're there for a reason. Those fruit trees are there not just to line his driveway, but they're there to produce fruit. And when we think in terms of the church for others, how is it that we gauge whether we're doing our mission or not? And it's by the fruit that we see being bared in our lives. Is there anything coming of our footprint we have in the community we serve? And Paul was thanking this early church that fruitfulness was very evident, that their faith, hope, and love were being invested in other people. And it was known and seen and experienced. Now, some of our fruit was shown even as recent as last night over in Beverly, West Virginia. Anybody ever been to Beverly, West Virginia? Not far from Elkins. You got to go just a little bit further. You run out of 4-lane and you're back down to a 2-lane. And then there's a non-denominational church and a Presbyterian church and a Methodist church. And they're building new sidewalks in Beverly, West Virginia. Tom walked on one of those sidewalks and he says, you mean this isn't real brick? And it's not quite real brick, but they're doing a good job of making it look nice. They've painted the concrete, they've put little grooves in it so it looks like a brick walkway, and they are refurbishing historic Beverly. But it was a privilege to go and to sing with some 40-plus others in the Philippi community and beyond, and to see how using those talents and abilities continued to share God's message. Judd graciously asked me to do the prayer to get us ready to go out. And I just said, may we sing to the glory of God. And in everything we do in this setting, or whatever setting God places us in, may it be done so that He gets the glory. And beautiful opportunity to see some of that fruit bearing, being shown, being shared. Because that's the deal with fruit. If you're just going to grow it so it's on a tree, it's really not the purpose of the fruit. It's either to reproduce or to be used in nourishment by somebody else. May it be so when we think in terms of our fruitfulness, our faithfulness. And that's where Epaphras' name comes up. He's sort of the poster child for faithfulness. It's one of those things, and I'm glad maybe that we don't have any other reference to him, because that's not what's important. We can put our name in there and realize that God applauds our faithfulness to the ministry of Jesus Christ, continuing to be filled with His Spirit. So, what does our walk look like? we're being the church for others. There are three things, then he continues on in the next few verses to give us a picture of what a walk with Christ, a church made for others, will truly look like. Can we be seen? The church for others can be seen as we have a wise walk. That's one of the very first things Paul takes some time to remind those church members. I appreciate that you are filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. How do you think they got to a place where Paul recognized wisdom and understanding in their lives? It was a place where they, so that they may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. We continue to walk with the Lord because we haven't figured it all out yet. Our greatest privilege is to know that when we woke up this morning, there will be things we're going to learn today that we did not know yesterday. And as we spend time in God's Word, as we spend time in His community of faith, there are still opportunities for us to learn together. Now, there has been concerns addressed to me about the next generation. Where is it that we see evidence of younger people continuing to follow the Lord or to have a heart for the gospel? And I appreciated Jim Wallace's words in this respect as well. He says, everywhere I go now, the gospel presence among the poor is growing with people in faith. In Catholic parishes and charities, in evangelical churches and their faith-based ministries, in the urban and rural projects of our major denominations, in student groups like InterVarsity Christian Fellowship and Campus Crusade for Christ, in the engagement of groups like World Vision, in prison ministries, homeless shelters, medical clinics, food pantries, and soup kitchens, immigrant services and transformational community economic development, by groups like the Christian Community Development Association. In all these ways and others, faith is reaching out again to the one who said he was hungry, thirsty, naked, a stranger, sick, and in prison. Having been to as many places as I have known, I can testify to how these quiet and humble faith-inspired efforts are what hold many cities, communities, and even countries together. Now, all over the country and all around the world, I see a new generation that is reliving what happened to me many years ago. These young people are traveling to places they had never been before, being stunned by what they see, and through a spiritual pilgrimage of pain, confusion, anger, and discovery, they are both deepening and broadening their previously narrower faith. What they all tell me is that they are finding Jesus again, or in some cases, for the very first time. Whether helping to renovate urban schools in their own city, tutoring poor children, building houses for low-income families, digging wells in sub-Saharan Africa, or fighting sexual trafficking in Asia, many young believers are having life-changing experiences and coming away with a new sense of who Jesus is and what their relationship with Him is becoming. I see it in the college students I teach and in my own sons as they enter their first community service projects. It is a great report card that we hear and experience for not only the next generation, but for all those that open their eyes and see where God is already working and understanding that the church is, in fact, for others. We continue this walk, not only with wisdom and knowledge, but we understand it also that it can be seen as we have a worthy walk. Verse 11, it says, "May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light." Our worthiness does not come from the fact of what we have accomplished, but the worthiness comes in the fact that we submit our very lives and we find strength and power to endure all those things that come before us, and that we recognize our inheritance is because of what Jesus has done for us, and that we have that privilege of sharing the same good news to others we come in contact with. So it's a wise walk that we place ourselves on. It's a worthy walk because of what Jesus has done. And then also it becomes a worshipful walk. He finishes his thoughts here in 13 and 14, and he says, "He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." We still remain the church for others as we continue to keep our doors open. We'll come up to the big brown doors of Philippi Baptist Church, and if you don't understand, we've got to push down on the little latch and pull. Sometimes it's almost like the door is locked when you're trying to get in. So I'm really glad somebody thought a long time ago to put those little hooks so we can have the door all the way open on Sunday morning, so we don't have to have any question about whether we're open or not. It is a place in which we can come and worship in His name, where we have opportunity to leave our cares and concerns at the feet of Jesus, and to know that we are not in this life alone, and that there will be times when we can celebrate with one another, and there will be times when we come with our hearts heavy because of a loss of a loved one, because of personal crisis that we are walking through, and that we find strength because we are together. So that leads me to my other high-tech PowerPoint this morning. We have a little round disc, and we got all kinds of folks already on here, but I am so glad the picture is that we continue to reach out to those that aren't here yet. That is our mandate, that's our calling, is to continually be an inviting people, filled with faith, hope, and love, allowing wisdom and an understanding of where our worthiness comes from, and that we get to worship not only inside the walls of the church, but our worship extends as we go forth in love. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. God who sees, You know when we are lost in the crowd, when we are out of step with the pace of life around us, when we feel rejected and alone. God who hears, You listen to us when we don't even know what we are saying, when words fall apart and all that escapes our mouths is silence. God who is, we feel Your touch in the breeze on our skin, Your presence in the arms that embrace us, Your life in the heart that beats inside us. You are present, You are here, You are now. Help us to know this now and always. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.